Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green.
Damn.
Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
Damn.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask them.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses,
damn.
I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Let's cut the intro short. Welcome, 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 welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Sunday, May the 7th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we got another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, got a very powerful topic for you. We want to talk about the hidden science behind lack of self-worth, lack of self-esteem, lack of self-value, lack of net worth. So we know that your self-worth determines your net worth. But one of the things that we don't know or that we don't really understand on a deeper subconscious level is that at the foundation of all of the other self issues is the issue of self-sufficiency. Now, brothers and sisters, we've been talking about the hidden science during this series. And everybody that's a part of the Clarinomics Temple Building Program has already been exposed to this principle. So we're talking about the invisible, if you will. And they're only invisible because they're not really perceived. They're not really understand. And so I want to focus on the thing that makes you very vulnerable to being are reacting to what I call psychological pain. So you react to psychological pain, or you react to what I call slight, or what I call disrespect, or what I call vibes. So if you are very sensitive to vibes, if you are very sensitive to disrespect, if you are very sensitive to how people respond or don't respond to you, there's a certain underlying cause to that. And when we're talking about understanding your self-worth and the thing that gives you value, the thing that makes you you, the thing that helps you to under, over, and understand how you oscillate or vibrate, we're talking about self-sufficiency or the lack thereof. So I've been working on or redeveloping or re-editing a book that I wrote or started writing. As you go, you guys know I got books in different stages of development. And I was talking about in this book, it's called, again, The Root Cause of All Problems, Relationship Problems. So if you have a problem in a relationship, this is the root cause. The root cause of your relationship problem, my brother, the root cause of your relationship problem, my sister, is lack of self-worth. But the root cause of the lack of self-worth is a lack of self-sufficiency. So your self-esteem, if you don't have self-esteem, if you don't have self-worth, if you don't have self-value, if you don't really see yourself as being worthy, like me, I didn't see myself as being worthy. So again, because I didn't see myself as being worthy, I settled for unworthiness. So I settled for a job I didn't want, settled for, you know, health, settled for all of the areas of life I settled. But there's a reason why. The reason why I settled is I didn't have no self-worth. I didn't have no self-esteem. I didn't have no self-value. But the reason I didn't have no self-worth, the reason I didn't have no self-esteem, the reason I didn't have no self-value is because I have no self-sufficiency. And the reason I didn't have no self-sufficiency, because I wasn't self-contained. And the reason that I wasn't self-contained, because I was not in a mental state, I was not in a financial state, I was not in a spiritual state that required no aid, no support, or no interaction from anything outside of me, I did not have godliness plus contentment. The word contentment means self-containment. The word self-containment means not needing outside aid. I did not. I was in a position where I needed outside aid. I needed somebody to come along outside of me and tell me, Brother Will, you are the greatest thing since sliced bread. And without that outside aid, I suffer from a lack of self-esteem, a lack of self-worth, a lack of self-value. And the underlying evidence that proves that I have no self-worth, I have no self-esteem, or very little self-worth, or very little self-esteem, very little self-value, is that I am easily disrespected. I react very easily every time someone does something that I perceive as being disrespectful. Meaning, if I get invited to a party, I mean, if everybody gets invited to the party and I don't get invited to the party, I'm pissed off. If everybody speaks and nobody speaks to me, I'm pissed off. I am very easily offended. That shows evidence of something. So I have to find out what is the root cause. What is the root cause, my brother? What is the root cause, my sister? I have to find aid outside of myself because there is no aid inside of myself. So I don't see myself as being a single standing column of waveform energy. Now, I've been saying this and been saying this, so I'm trying to say the same thing in a different way. And the reason is because of most people, in fact, all the relationships that I know of, when a woman dislikes a man, it's because the man dislikes himself. But the man does not understand how he is disrespecting himself. Therefore, he doesn't understand how he's disrespecting his woman. Men, you disrespecting yourself and you're disrespecting your woman because you're not being self-sufficient. Now, I'm not talking about something I read of a book. Total self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency is the quality of having a mental disposition that is secure and content or content with oneself. Self-sufficiency is a deep-rooted sense. Again, notice everything is mental. Ain't got shizness to do with money, brother. It don't have nothing to do with how you look. I don't give a damn how many muscles you got or you don't have. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care how black or white you are. I don't care if you live on the right side of the tracks or not. Self-sufficiency is an inside-outside job. Self-sufficiency has to do with you gathering or garnering enough mental dispositions by which to see worth and value in yourself when everybody else doesn't. That's self-sufficiency. Now, let me say that again because this is really deep, because this is at the core of every bad or every troubled relationship, whether it's wealth, health, wisdom, or relationships. So if I want to improve any area of my life, I need to improve my self-containment in that area. If I'm not self-contained in any area of my life, then I'm going to suffer from deep shizness. But if you, there are people that are very, very, very self-contained. But guess what? Those people are detached. So there's a dark side to self-sufficiency. So let's break this down so that way you understand. You see, self-sufficiency has a dangerous side that produces what is called a disassociated or a disassociate psychopath. This is a person that is totally self-immersed, totally self-contained, and totally selfish. They don't take into account of other people's needs. They have a detached, egocentric self-sufficiency. That is the dark side of becoming self-sufficient. So let's break down self-sufficiency, and then let's break down the dark side of self-sufficiency so that way you can understand the principles behind success. In order for you to be successful in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships, especially for the members of the Clarinomics temple building team. The only reason that your temple is not able to house the Shekinah glory of God is because your intercompleteness is unstable. God cannot put his spirit in a incomplete, unstable vessel. So we got to secure. And in order for us to secure your self-esteem, we have to go deeper down the rabbit trail and deal with this, what is called a cognitive dissonance, a cognitive disconnect in the form of a negative habit pattern. So there is you're suffering from a negative habit pattern. That simply means that you feel slighted. You feel wrong. The more violent a person is, the more lack of self-sufficiency or self-containment the person suffers from. Women, if you're in a relationship with a man that's violent, it's because this man has no self-sufficiency. He can't take care of himself mentally, spiritually, financially, emotionally, all of the areas. If you respond quickly, if you have a self-inflated ego, that means that you have an increased sensitivity to any type of a perceived wrong. Do you know anybody that's very on edge and they react immediately to a perceived wrong? You are witnessing a person that is suffering from the inability to take care of himself. So when you can't take care of yourself, you look for other people to take care of you. and it's in your head. You most people that can't take care of themselves are already taking care of themselves. It's the craziest thing since sliced bread. So when I wasn't taking care of myself, I was taking care of myself. But in my brain, I wasn't. Even now, I struggle with, which is the purpose for today's show. So we went on a trip to visit both of my daughters who were having a business company symposium, if you will. My daughter has her own dance company, and she was putting on a dance recital, giving out rewards for members of the dance company. These were, again, all, you know, little girls, mainly 7, 12 years old. And it was a plethora. And I posted the videos on Facebook. I was really impressed at the success of my daughter. And then my other daughter has her own bakery and her own fashion. She designed most of the outfits that the girls were wearing. And she set up and was selling most of the goods, the baked goods and organic food that was at this particular show. So I drove down there with me, my wife, and my children, stepchildren, which are my children. Now, my children, again, pretty much are grown and gone except for one. My baby daughter was with us. And so on the way down there, we stopped. We ate breakfast. No problem. Drive from San Antonio, Dallas, about 4 hours. Stopped, gassed up, no problem. Check the oil, tires, all that good stuff. Get to Dallas, you know, go to the event, enjoyed ourselves, hung out with my family, went out to eat. You know, I picked up the tab, paid for everything. Got in the car, hung out with my family for a little bit. Got in the car, filled up the gas, you know, grabbed something else to eat, snack on the way home. And then we drove back to San Antonio, got in late last night, was gone all weekend. My wife said something to me this morning. Now, I had already had made the decision to do the show on today's topic before my wife talked to me this morning. And my wife said to me this morning, "I'm very proud of you." And I said, "Really? Why?" Well, she said, you know, they're going down and supporting your daughters and stuff. And I was like, "Oh, well, yeah, you know, I go down there all the time and support my daughters. They're the two sounding boards that Clownomics works. They tell me every day, Dad, thank you for modeling the behavior of success in front of us so we could see how to be successful. Both of my daughters make more money than me. They're in their 20s, early 20s. They are very successful. Both of my daughters, and my wife tells me something this morning on her way to church. Now, my wife is at church right now, and I'm sitting here doing a show, and I'm pondering this statement that my wife said in light of the Today Show, which my wife has no idea that I'm doing the show right now. She has no idea of the topic of the show. She has no idea of the statement that she made. This was confirmation from God to me. This is how the universe works. So I'm sitting here and I'm telling myself the whole time I'm there, I'm looking at my daughters and I'm watching my daughter and I'm seeing all of these parents with tears on their face and I'm seeing hundreds of little girls and they are all looking up to my daughter and my daughter has had this huge impact on the entire suburb where the average home up there in Dallas where we was at starts at $500,000 starting. For a little cooker cutter home up there, man, in North Dallas, starting at $500,000. And I'm watching my daughter rub elbows with these high level clients. And then I'm watching my other daughter sitting over there at the gate taking tickets and selling her baked goods. And I'm watching these little girls dance in the uniforms that my daughter designed. And I'm looking at the logo and I'm looking at everything. And my daughters, we go out to eat and they tell me, "Dad, thank you for teaching us Clownomics. Thank you for teaching us how to be self-employed. Thank you for giving us the mindset. Thank you for showing us the blueprint. Thank you for giving us a step-by-step procedure. Because none of my friends, they went to college, they got degrees, and they got jobs. Ain't nothing wrong with having a job if that's your dream, if that's what you want. But my daughters were sitting there, eating dinner after the great day of watching their businesses and the success of my daughters, and I'm just sitting there. I'm so happy because my daughters are modeling that my daughters have, they took what I taught them and they implemented it. And then the music that was being played was played by my son. So my son designed all the music. He did all the choreographing, not the choreographing, but all of the score, all of the music. He put the music together. So I'm watching my lineage, brother. I'm watching my heritage. I'm watching when I die and I'm gone, I see that I passed on Clarinomics to my children. So what the same thing I'm trying to do for you, I've already done. And my sister's daughters, I'm getting ready to go to Arkansas. My sister's graduating Kuma Kam, whatever, who basically spent most of her childhood with me. Her other sister, I'm their second dad, even though I'm their uncle. My daughter, my sister went through some hard times, so they had to come live with us. Then I'm watching my first wife's brother's children who live with me, who I raised. They're in Las Vegas, and these two beautiful girls, they got their own business, and I'm watching 13 children. I got 13 clients that are freaking successful in Clarinomics because they implemented what I'm telling you today. What did they do, brother? What did they do, sister? They made a decision to be self-sufficient. So my wife tells me an hour ago, I'm so proud of you. I'm thinking, why? I didn't do nothing. She said, you paid everything on the trip. And I was like, what do you mean? She said, you paid attention to me. You paid for the gas. You paid for the fuel. You took the oil. You took the gas. A lot of the stuff. See, my wife is very proactive. My wife is one of the few women that I know that really don't need a man. Everything that I can do, my wife can pretty much do better. She was active duty army. My wife is like, if that was a picture of G.I. Jane, it would probably be my wife. So a lot of times, I allow my wife to take the lead because I'm comfortable and I want to save my money to do other stuff with. But this weekend, I wanted to be the man. I wanted to take charge. I don't know why. It just something said that, hey, man, I wanted to go up there and show my daughters, hey, they doing big things. I'm doing big things. But I didn't realize the impact that it had on my wife. And it dropped in my spirit because the problems that I'm having, if you want to call it problems, because remember, relationships go from glory to glory. So once you get to a certain level in your relationship, you got to go to the next level, and the next level, and the next level, and the next level, and the next level. Truth is the same way. Once you find one truth, you go from one truth to another truth to another truth. You're always learning, brother. The relationship is always growing if you want to keep it vibrant and healthy. And if you want to have a happy relationship, the relationship always got to have your attention. So since I've been doing that, you know, since all of this, you know, the last catastrophe I had, since I have my journal, what I call my intention journal, and I write down every day what I intend to do, and I don't just live in a dream world. I implement the dream, as I talked about on yesterday's show, on living in the dream world and making the dream the reality. So my daughters, my children, 13 people are living the dream because I taught them how to live the dream. When I was living the dream, when everybody told me that I was self-delusional. So I like being self-delusional because my self-delusions come true. But there's a problem. There is a big problem. And the problem is lack of self-sufficiency. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, the more sensitive you are, the less sufficient you are. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, in the name that is above every name, that in that name, every demon above the earth, every demon on earth, every demon under the earth is subject to the power that's in the voice and in the frequency and in the wave and in the vibration of my voice. And I take authority over every ruling disposition. And I establish a cistern that is made up of faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these three is love. Self-sufficiency, brother, if you are a man, if you want to be a man, if you think you are a man, if you got any aspirations to one day stepping up to the plate and freaking being a man, you need to listen to this show, brother. Ladies, too, but more so men. See, I am not there yet. I'm still a boy that's learning how to be a freaking man. And to this weekend was proof for me to be married and be with my wife for 8 years and for her to say for the first time, Honey, I'm proud of you. Why are you proud of me, babe? Because you freaking paid for everything. You drove the whole trip. I didn't do nothing. You treated me like a queen. That's the first year? Yeah, pretty much. So you mean to tell me 8 years? Oh, man, that's a travesty. That's an injustice. But damn, I guess 8 years is better late than never. But what's my point? My point is this, my brothers and sisters. Men, if you are a man, you need to step your game up. Women, if you are a woman, you need to require spiritually that your man steps his game up. Now, what do you mean, Brother Will? You saying, what are you saying? But let me be crystal clear. See, the problem with the concept of this thing called self-worth, self-value, self-esteem, there is a problem. The problem is there's a link between constant sensitivity or reaction and violence and narcissism, lack of empathy, psychopathic and sociopathic aggressive behavior in response to a perceived slight. Now, a slight means disrespect. Now, I am one of the most sensitive people you will ever meet. If you disrespect me, you got problems. So I had to ask myself, why am I so on edge that when someone disrespects me, they have hell to pay? There's a reason why. And so when I started uncovering this in my relationship, so I asked myself, when me and my wife were driving, she said, well, why? You know, everything that happened, you know, why did you have to go outside of our marriage and do, why did you do what you did? What was the reason? And I told her, I said, can I be honest? My wife said, sure, you can be honest. I said, well, whose picture do you have on your cell phone? Well, I got a picture of my father. So I've been married, we've been married together, we've been together for 8 years. You have a picture of your father on your cell phone. You don't have a picture of me on your cell phone. So during that trip to Dallas, I told my wife, you know what? We got 4 hours, kids asleep, we got 4 hours to do some intensive therapy. I coach and talk to everybody else. Now it's time for me to work on my marriage. So let me tell you what's going on. I don't feel like I'm the man. So my wife said, well, that's interesting. Why don't you feel like you the man? Because I tell my wife, well, you know what? I don't feel like I'm the man. I feel like I am being I am not number one. She said, well, what do you mean? You know, well, next weekend I'm going to Arkansas. Next weekend my wife is going on a fishing trip with her father. And I'm going to Arkansas to my sister's daughter's graduation, who is another one of my, I would say, extensions of me because of the impact, not because I'm some great guru, but because I've been placed and thankful by the grace and mercy of God, been able to hang out, talk with. So what are you saying, Brother Will? I'm saying self-sufficiency, brother, meaning that you got to be self-sufficient, because if you're not self-sufficient, you will have no self-esteem. I watched that with my daughter this weekend. I watched that with myself, and I got that from my wife this weekend. So on the way back, my wife said, I'm proud of you. And I'm saying, why? You should always be. I'm thinking, why aren't you proud of me? Why weren't you proud of me before this weekend? Because she said, well, I've always wanted you to care. I say, well, I do care. Yeah, but I need you to show it how you care. I said, hell, I always show I care. No, you don't. See, I'm caring for my wife the way I want my wife to care for me. Let me make sure you understand this, because most relationships, this is the problem. Men, you are giving your woman what you want your woman to give to you. And woman, you are expecting from your man what you would give to yourself. Women, they want the man to make them the number one woman in their life. They don't want your mama to be number one. They don't want your sisters. They don't want, this is what my wife told me, I'm not number one and you didn't make me number one, so why the hell am I going to make you number one? Now, I've been married for 8 years. I'm not wondering, like, now, this is not my first rodeo. But the problem is, why did I not make my wife number one? No self-esteem. No self-worth. No self-value. So why don't I see, remember when all of this stuff happened and I cheated on my wife and my sister told me, you deserve to be happy. And I cried and I cried and I cried. And I sat down and I asked myself, damn, what's wrong with me? I couldn't stop crying. And my sister just kept saying it. You deserve to be happy. You, not your wife, not your daughter, not your son, not the dog, not the neighbor, you. And I just cried. I couldn't understand it. She touched something in my spirit, brother. She touched something in my spirit. So my cheating wasn't had nothing to do with sex. It's never about sex. Women, when a man cheat, it ain't got shizness to do with sex. If your man is not stepping up to the plate, it ain't got nothing to do with no other female. It got to do with the fact that the man doesn't feel like a man. He is not self-sufficient in his head. I don't care how much money he got. I don't care how he looks. I don't care how many muscles he got. In his brain is telling him, you ain't shizness. Just like my brain was telling me. So this weekend, my wife told me something that brought tears to my eyes. She said, honey, I'm proud of you. For what? For being the man. Now, the whole trip, I'm blasting and telling her why the relationship is not working. The relationship is not working because you got your father's picture on your cell phone, not mine. The relationship is not working because when something happens, you call your father for advice. When something goes on, who do you really trust? I asked her, who do you trust? She said, I trust my mother and my father. That was the first thing I asked. Who do you trust? My name was not the man. And I asked her this question. If that was a major catastrophe and the world was coming to an end and they was rounding everybody up and putting them in FEMA camps, where would you go? You know what my wife said? I would go to my father's house. She asked me, where would you go? I told her, I would go pick up my children and make sure that they were safe. And I would get my daughters from Dallas to San Antonio. Or I would get my black ass to Dallas some kind of way. And I would put my life on the line to ensure the safety of my children. Not my wife. And my wife said, I put my life on the line for the safety of my mother and my father, not my husband. Do you see the problem, brother? Do you see the problem? Now, most people can't talk if they don't have this level of authenticity in their relationships. See, I'm a therapist. I do this for a living. I can blow smoke up other people's butts, but I ain't damn sure ain't going to blow smoke up my own. So just because a problem exists doesn't mean I'm not aware of it. So I was making sure, reminding my wife again, you know why? Now, we got a good relationship, but do you know why we don't have a toe-curling relationship? Do you know? I just want to make sure you know. Because we can fix it if you want to fix it. It's a simple fix. But if you don't want to fix it, then, okay, we're going to continue to play house. But when you want to go to the next level, let me know. Because, see, one day I may get tired of sticking around, and I may go to the next level with somebody else. So I don't want you to be surprised. So when my wife left for church this morning, you know what she told me? Will you be here when I get back? Why? What's my MO? I've already left 3 times. Wife went to church, came home. I was gone. Why? Now, most people can't live in the real world like that. I tell my wife the truth. If I'm not happy, I'm going to tell you. I'm too old to play games, bruh. I'm too old. The reason, though, that I'm not happy ain't got nothing to do with my wife. The reason that I'm disrespecting my wife. So my wife says, honey, I need one thing from you, honey. I need one thing. I said, what's that? I need to be the number one female in your life. I need you to show me that you care. And this weekend you did. You got the car, you took it, and you gassed it up. You washed the car. You checked the oil in it.
You took us to breakfast and you paid. Usually I pay. And you paid for my children. See, I pay for my children, but I never would pay for my wife's children because, like I told her when I met her, those your children. I raised my children already. I'm retired. I don't want to be a father. I told her that. Now, as I know now, she shouldn't agree to that. I shouldn't have freaking had the balls to even ask it. How the hell you going to meet a woman with babies and then tell them that you're not going to be the father to the babies? She'd have told my black ass, well, keep stepping. But we already in it now, so we can't cry over spilled milk. So now I got to be self-sufficient in order for the relationship to work. But I got to be self-sufficient with myself because the happiness comes from within. My wife can't make me happy. It's my job to make myself happy. And how do I become happy, brother? By being self-sufficient. How do I be self-sufficient? The word self-sufficiency, and this is important, it is the quality of feeling secure and content in your own freaking head. So somebody comes alongside of me and try to get in my head, and I say, not today, homie. I don't let nobody in my head. Nobody. I love my children to death, but my children drop little one-liners because they know the dad that I used to be. My ex drops little one-liners. My ex just told me the other day, yeah, I'm going to pull a Willie. What the hell is that? Now, I know what it is. She know what it is. It's a inside poke. It's a compliment with shit on it. That don't affect me no more, brother. That doesn't affect me no more, sister. Why? I got self-sufficiency. I'm learning the game. And as I learn, like I told you guys, man, as soon as I learn it, I learned it at 12:59. I'm telling it to everybody at 1. As soon as I learn it, I'm passing it on. What have I learned? This weekend, I learned something profound. I learned two major things. Self-sufficiency is the quality of feeling secure and content in your own head, period. Self-sufficiency means you are complete, and it means you are stable in the four areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. You are stable. I don't know about the other party. Self-sufficiency, emphasis on the word self. See, what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to make other people complete. I've been trying to make other people stable at the expense of myself. And I talked about before the weaponization of caring. So that's what I've been doing. I've been using care as a weapon. So I care about you as long as I can whoop you upside your head and I can manipulate you. I did an entire show. I got an entire book called Master of Manipulation. There ain't nobody yet. I've met a lot of good ones. I ain't met nobody yet that's better than me. I ain't met nobody that can manipulate. I can get you to do what you want to do while the whole time what you want to do benefits me. That's a master manipulator. I've been doing this shit for a long time. Self-sufficiency is the quality and the feeling of feeling secure and content with oneself. But there's a dark side that I just came out of. What's the dark side, brother? What is the dark side of self-sufficiency? Oh, let me break it down for you. See, the dark side of self-sufficiency means that you are a disassociate psychopath. You disassociate yourself. See, I'm a lone wolf. Nobody knows what the hell I'm doing in my life. I got this whole secret life that I live that nobody knows. Hell, I don't even know if God knows about it. See, the dark side of self-sufficiency is you become self-immersed. You become self-contained. You behave selfishly, and you behave without taking account of how your behavior affects other people. So all my life, I didn't give a flying beep about how my behavior affected other people. So this weekend, my wife tells me, hold up, this dude, who is this dude? You put air in my tire. You washed my car. I tell my wife, that's your car. Hell, you wash your own damn car. I never washed her car. I just started doing it. I just started driving her to work. I got an intention calendar, a journal that I've been telling everybody. Now, everybody's a part of the Clarinomics Temple Building Program. You know that this experiment that I've been on, I told you guys. One particular client, Brother Roman, I told this dude something 6 months before it happened. And I told Brother Roman, I told you this was going to happen. When I left and I came back, my wife had another dude living in this house, man. Sleeping in my bed, eating out of my plates. She told me, Negro, you lost your mind. Her and all 300 of her relatives told me, your ticket is punched, homie. 30 days later, I was back in my house. This is not a game. Now, this ain't nothing to brag about. I'm trying to express, expose, and expand to you the dark side of self-sufficiency, along with the positive side of self-sufficiency. As I've been doing this entire Hidden Science series, I've been telling this. I don't know if you guys really understand what's going on, man. This is show 14. This is 14 hours of 25 hours that I should be charging $5,000 or $10,000 for this information. And it's for free. This is the last time that I'm doing this. I probably won't be on Blog Talk anymore after this. I'm going to probably step back a lot. And I'm only going to work with, I'm already said, and I'm already doing, just working with a select few that pay $5,000 for my personal time. Because I don't want to work with people that are not serious anymore. It's a waste of my time. I'm too passionate. I'm too high strung, and my system is too effective. I watched, and I was so proud of my daughter Sade this weekend. I was so proud of my daughter Sade. So I'm watching them. I'm watching them perform and do what they love, brother. They're not punching out. Is it tough? Yes. Is it hard work? Yes. But the joy, the reward, and the satisfaction of being self-sufficient, that my daughters are self-sufficient. Do you know that people with low self-esteem suffer from perceived slightism? That means they react to any time they think that they've been stiffed or slighted. Anytime you think somebody's trying to disrespect you, are you going to go off? But once you develop a higher self-esteem, you don't respond to those lower-level insults. Your ego isn't fragile anymore. So the qualities of self-sufficiency, let's break this down really, really quickly. Self-sufficiency, again, means that you are cheerful. It means that you are enthusiastic. And it means that you are intense. Please write that down. Somebody please write that down. Self-sufficient. You mean to tell me, I watched my daughter as she was out there. She was cheerful. She was enthusiastic. And she was intense. Both of them. As they was engaging in their activities. And as you can see by the sound of my voice, my intensity, my enthusiasm, and my cheerfulness on every show. Why? Because I am totally self-sufficient when I'm doing these shows. It's only when I stop doing them that the reality steps in and I go to the dark side of self-sufficiency. So my problem is to focus on what my wife told me today. Her problem is to focus on what I told her. What did I tell my wife? You don't respect me, honey. You know what my wife told me? My wife said, how can you say that? I go to work every day. I cook, I clean. So my wife is giving me work ethic and loyalty. Why? That's a life path number. And I'm giving my wife, what am I giving my wife? Now think about it. Remember, what's my life path number? I'm a teacher, so what am I doing? I'm giving my wife advice and caring. That's not what she needs. So we are both giving each other the wrong thing. My wife, I don't need your loyalty, and I don't need your hard work. What I need is your respect and your trust and your acceptance. My wife doesn't respect me. My wife doesn't trust me, and my wife doesn't accept me. It just now, you know, one of the requirements when I came back, if you don't go to church, you're out. And I agreed to it. Big mistake. Why? Because I know I'm not going to go to church. I just said that to get back in the door. Subconsciously. So what am I saying? What am I saying, brothers and sisters? Now, my wife on the other side, she said, I got to be the number one woman in your life. Your ex cannot. Now, my ex will come over here. I just paid my ex's rent. She was homeless. My ex could come over here, just show up anytime unannounced, just drive up and blow and bump and blow a horn, and I go outside. I'm still married to her. I used to go over to my ex-house. My children would come in town. I would go over to my ex-house and hang out over there for, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Me and my ex drove to Dallas to visit my daughter one time, spend the night. Now, would you let your husband spend the night with his ex-wife with some in a hotel room or at his daughter's house by himself? You ain't there? I don't think so. So I didn't make my wife number one. My wife says, I don't think it's a good idea. I told her, I don't care what you think. This is what I'm going to do. Like it or lump it. And then I wonder why my marriage was on the rocks. I did not make my wife number one. I did not show my wife that I care about her. And I did not show my wife that I seek to understand her. See, when my wife talked, I just listened to respond. I listened to judge. And I listened to offer solution. I did not listen to understand and to connect. And so I've been doing that now. Relationship is 180 degrees different. Why? I told my wife she's number one. Now, my ex, she calls, I don't answer. She wants to borrow money, I ask my wife first. Honey, my ex needs this amount of money, blah, blah, blah. Is that okay with you? No, I don't think it's a good idea, babe. Okay. I don't loan her the money. No other female is more important than my wife. Now, I got my intention board. I made my wife number one. I show my wife that I care. I show my wife that I understand. I show my wife that I'm devoted to her. I'm doing everything to be self-sufficient and let my wife know that. Now, what if my wife does not return the things that I need? What do I need? I need for you to show me that you, number one, respect me. Number two, you trust my judgment. So when I tell you that your son probably should have his electronics taken away because he goes to school and he gets in trouble every day for talking when he should not be talking. And I've already raised 13 kids, five of my own and different family members, kids coming in and out of my house. And they are fairly successful. So I'm going to give you advice that I didn't read it from a book by an author who don't got kids. Everybody taking advice from that Dr. Spock dude or whatever the hell his name was. That fool didn't even have no kids. How you gonna give me advice and you ain't even got no kids? I've already raised my kids, man. I just came from Dallas watching two of my kids who are successful. They not in prison. None of my kids are in jail. None of my kids are strung out on dope and this, that, all this other stuff. Now, could that happen to them? Absolutely. Nobody's perfect, but what am I saying? I'm saying this. Man, respect me for the things that I've done. So as a teacher, as somebody who has the ability to offer, you have to, number one, women, y'all need to respect your man. You need to trust your man. You need to accept your man. If you can't do those three things, get you another man. So my wife has to do those three things for me. If my wife cannot respect me, if my wife cannot trust me, if my wife doesn't accept me for who I am and doesn't value my opinion and my knowledge and what I bring to the table, y'all know what's going to happen. So if me and my wife divorce, everybody's going to probably be like, damn, I thought Brother Will had a great marriage. Everybody be shocked and surprised. I will be the only one that won't be shocked or surprised. Why? I am not going to stay in a... Now, for some people, they say, make your bed and lie in it. That's for you's people. That's not for me. If I make a bed, I don't like it, I'm going to tear the sucker up, burn it down, and build another one. And I've been doing that all my life, and will continue. Now, we talked about this. My wife said, baby, I think... My wife is from the old school, loyal. She said, no, you just stay in it. I don't care how bad it is. If you make a commitment, you stick with it. Even if that commitment, even if that doesn't, you know, that's old school. I told my wife, I respect that, but I don't live by that. I live by what I call quality of life. So at 8 o'clock, I want the quality of my life to be good. 9 o'clock, I want the quality, the minutes, the seconds of my life. I don't want to live my life for just, you know, 30 seconds of grandioseness once a month. Yeah, I've been there, done that already. See, I came from dirt. I came from poverty. I came from bad shizness. I know cray cray. I used to implement it. So I'm not going to live in cray cray. I've already been there, done that. So I'm not saying we're going to have a mountaintop experience every day, but it should be damn near. And I'm going to do the things to make it that way. I'm not asking my wife to do anything to make the relationship work. What am I going to do? I'm going to do what I did this weekend. What I do about this weekend? Take the bull by the freaking horn. So if there's any men listening to the sound of my voice, if you want to change your relationship, take the bull by the horn. Don't ask your wife to do nothing. Freaking do it yourself. Get your ass up early. Work two jobs if you have to. Whatever you got to do. So I got to step my game up. Why? Why do I got to step my game up? My game is going pretty good. Things are going good. I am not self-sufficient. Well, Brother Will, you're doing great. Man, yeah, I'm making good money, but I got good bills. So this weekend, I did something that my wife said, hey, I'm impressed. I said, well, what did I do? You paid for everything, and you was attentive to my needs. Okay, I'm going to write that down. Because my wife just told me what she needs. She needs me to be a man. That means provider and the protector. My name, William, means provider and protector. That's what my name, that's what I freaking am. And so that's why the devil attacks me in that area, because he knows that is the only way to destroy me, because that's where I get my self-worth. So I don't have no self-worth if I can't provide and protect. Why the hell y'all think I left my first marriage after 25 freaking years? Because when I left crying. I left crawling out like a little pup because I got my ass whooped for 25 years. Because I had them children I couldn't take care of them. Why? Because my black ass couldn't steal no job. So I had no self-worth because I had no self-sufficiency. So if you're going to have five kids, somebody should have told me, Negro, if you're going to have five kids, you're going to need five jobs, bruh. If not, you shouldn't have all them freaking kids. So I created this environment, and then I'm going to blame my wife because the environment is not of no freaking circus. We can't go on vacation. We ain't got food for this, that, and the other. So every time problems happen, every time, that's when I cheated. That's when I ran. Now, some people, they go get drunk. Some people do drugs. Some people, you know, turn to ice cream. What do? Run. Every time I can't pay a bill, I run. So what do you think the devil's going to do? He's going to make sure I don't pay no bills. Because that's the only way he can destroy my life. Because he know my name means provider and protector. So there, I got one demon left. That I'm going to put my foot so far up his beak that you won't be able to find my foot. How I'm going to do it? Cheerfulness, enthusiasm, and intensity. See, self-sufficiency is a strong internal focus, discipline, and order. Self-sufficiency is you having the ability to determine your own course, to make your own decision, rather than have life tell you what to do, you tell life what you're going to do. That's self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency is the ability to trust in your own instincts. Self-sufficiency is the ability to find purpose, create a process, develop some principles around a set of procedures that develops a product, service, or information that leads to a profit, that results in prosperity, that gives you peace of mind called self-sufficiency. So for me to be self-sufficient, brother, I need to have my purpose. And I need to walk in my purpose so I can develop a particular set of procedures and a process and a plan. And I can implement it through a product that's going to give me profit. And that profit is going to allow me to take care and pay for and do all this stuff. But as long as I am not self-sufficient. Self-sufficient people are authentic people. You cannot be authentic if you're not self-sufficient. Every man that's listening to the sound of my voice that have any problem is because you can't pay your bills the way you want to. It has nothing to do with the amount of money that you make. It has to do with the amount of efficiency that you have. Self-sufficient is the key to self-worth. And self-worth is the key to net worth. You have no money because you have no self-worth. You have no self-worth because you have no money. Do you see the vicious cycle? Black man, please listen to me. Go to the hood. Why is crime? Now remember, the response to a lack of self-worth is violence. Let me say it again. Psychologically, scientifically proven. The response to a lack of self-worth, which is a lack of self-sufficiency. So if you go to the hood, You see, a bunch of people who don't have the ability to provide their basic needs, so they get on government food stamps, they get on WICA, they get on Medicaid, they get on all this stuff I've been on, so I'm not talking about it. And if I qualify for it right now, I'll probably go sign up for it. No, I'm just kidding. Self-sufficient people, again, they don't play roles. Self-sufficient people, they're not dishonest. They're not misleading. Why? Because self-sufficient people, they got inner stability. They got a whole brain thinking. They don't need your opinion. Self-sufficient people don't need to borrow nothing from other people. Self-sufficiency means that you have everything that you need to provide for yourself. Brothers, you have to get to that place in your life. I'm talking to myself. Brother Will, you need to get there, bro. You got to get to the place where you are self-sufficient. And then once you get there, you got to fight that demon of egocentricism. You have to fight the demon that'll make you disassociate yourself from other people because you are self-sufficient. It makes you self-immersed in yourself. It makes you self-contained. Therefore, you become selfish. You become detached. You become egocentric. You become a megalomaniac. You become a social or a psychopath. You become engaged in self-sufficiency instead of being engaged in self-effectiveness. You should be self-sufficient so you can be effective. Self-sufficiency, again, it doesn't mean you got to be cold and detached. Self-sufficient simply means that you need to be altruistic. You should not be preoccupied with yourself, but because you have enough to take care of yourself, it allows you to be others focused. True people who are altruistic, that are true givers, people who are true, people who really have Christ consciousness, those are the people that are self-sufficient. Yahushua was self-sufficient. He did not need anything from outside of himself. It is my goal in life that everybody that's a part of the Clarionomic team become self-sufficient, myself included. Now, your level of self-sufficiency is totally different than mine. And the method of my self-sufficiency, for me, my self-sufficiency must come through my teachings, my books, my one-on-ones. Your self-sufficiency must come through the vehicle of your destiny or your idea. Otherwise, you're going to be set up for the greatest cosmic failure of your entire life. Because you're going to build a cistern or a temple that is not yours. You're going to run a race, and you're going to stand before the Father, and you will say, Heavenly Father, I healed the sick in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did this and I did that in your name. And he will say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, you worker of the wrong purpose. So, sure, I could go become a manager of McDonald's, and I could bite my pride or my ego because it pays me good money, and I could do that to become self-sufficient, to get the feeling. But because I don't have the faith or the function, it is fake. See, my brothers and sisters, many people are pretending because they don't have purpose. See, until you find purpose, you must pretend. See, that's not even the real you. See, until you find purpose, every goal you got is not your goal. You have a goal that you think is achievable. You don't have a goal that is designable. So purpose, again, gives you the ability, brothers, to be self-sufficient. So that means that if I'm not sufficient in my purpose, well, as of right now, today, I'm not. I am not sufficient in my purpose. Now, I have sufficiency, but I'm not self-sufficient. Big difference. See, the more self-sufficient you get, something happens. You self-sufficient people don't respond to worry. They don't respond to anxiety. They don't respond to slight, and they don't suffer from depression or anxiety. Let me say that again. Self-sufficiency is the result of the seven P's. Purpose. Then we got the principle. We got the process. We got the procedure. You can add the word plan if you want to. Then you have a product. So purpose tells you exactly through a process, through procedure, through principles, through the planning. Then you develop a product. Then that product is presented to the marketplace, and it makes you and it gives you a profit. That profit that you make, that money that you make, gives you prosperity. That prosperity then gives you peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that God gives that passes all understanding. So true wealth is peace. It's not money. Peace of mind. Self-sufficiency means exactly what the Bible says. Godliness plus contentment is great gain. The word contentment means not needing outside assistance. So is there anybody listening to the sound of my voice that does not need outside assistance? Then if that is you, that means that you are self-sufficient. And I take my hat off to you, because most people are not self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency, my brothers, self-sufficiency, my sisters, the principle, the science behind self-sufficiency says this. When people disrespect you, it doesn't work. That's how you know you're self-sufficient. When people try to slight you, when people try to give you a compliment with dirt on it or with shizness on it, when people try to undercut you, when people try to smile in your face all the time, they want to take your place, the backstabbers. See, when you don't respond to outside stimulation, it's because you're spending all your time with inside revelation. That's self-sufficiency. See, self-sufficiency means I am so consumed with the inside revelation that I don't have time to respond to the outside stimulation. So people are chirping. People are saying stuff. People are saying, oh, you knew this, that, and the other. You can't even hear them because you and God, you and your purpose. Remember, you are cheerful, you are enthusiastic, and you are intense. That's the principle behind self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency, as I've learned and as it was demonstrated just by happenstance, my wife, I didn't even know I was doing the show today. I wasn't even going to do a show today. And then I was thinking about my daughters, and I was thinking about my trip to Dallas, and I was watching them, and I saw how they're not there, but they're on their way there. And I was thinking about, again, how I feel, and I was like, man, you know what? I got to step my game up. And I was just telling myself that, man, I'm not self-sufficient right now. I need to be more self-sufficient. And then my wife tells me that, hey, you were self-sufficient today. I mean, on the trip. And I was like, how was I self-sufficient? And then she told me what I did. And the father said, that's what you need to continue to do. So what allowed me to do what I did today or what I did on my trip to visit my daughter? I was in a position to be able to do those things. So how did I get in that position to be able to do those things? I disassociated myself with non-purpose-based activities. I detached myself things that did not take me in the direction of my goal, and I focused all of my energy on being productive. That's self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency, again, means I don't require. It is a mental state first that says that I do not require any aid. I don't require any support. I don't require any interaction. Now, if I get it, great, but I don't require it. That's a big difference. I'm not saying that you don't need it. You do. But as I talked about in my show or in my book, Etheric Force, this is the new science. And let me close with this. This is dangerous. Because, see, we come from an environment of poverty. We always lived, but Jesus came and he did away. He came to fulfill the law. So what does that mean? Jesus said that you say in your law, if a man sleeps with a woman, he has committed adultery. Jesus says, I say, if a man thinks about sleeping with another woman, he has committed adultery. So Jesus elevated the game. He changed it to what science now is called etheric force or ether force. It is the new living science. So ether force says this, whatever you put force into, you repel. Father, touch the minds of your people that they may hear what says the word of God. Ether force says this, whatever you put your force into, you repel. Let me say it again. Whatever you put your force, not your attention, whatever you force, whenever you try to force something to happen, you actually cause it not to happen. So Ether force says this, whatever you take your force from, you attract. Whatever you take your force out of, you attract. That's why the person who loves the least in a relationship controls the relationship. Why? They take their force out of it. Whatever you take your force out of, you attract. That's totally different from the law of attraction that everybody teaches now. And then the last smoking gun, according to the new science of the what they call living physics, this is called wave genetics. This is what I've been studying. Whatever your force is neutral to, you possess. Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say that statement again. Whatever your force is neutral to, you possess. Father, touch the minds of your people. Let me say it again. I don't know if you got it. Whatever your force, your attention, your energy, your money, your time, your effort, whatever you are neutral. Now, remember, this is the new science. But what does that mean, being neutral? The Bible says it's better to be hot or cold, or I'm going to spew you out of the mouth. This is next level thinking, brothers and sisters. Next level thinking. The next level thinking. To do things that you've never done, you've got to think thoughts you've never thought. Next level. To do things you've never done, you got to think thoughts you've never thought. To do things you've never done, you have to think thoughts you've never thought. This thought you've never thought. You've never thought that if I take my energy, now, did you want to prove it to yourself? Let me show you how to prove it. Now, I don't advise you to do it. I told one client to do this, and they did it, and it worked. I've been doing this all my life. This is what the masters of manipulation do. This is where I learned all this stuff from. I've been doing this since I was 8. So if you're in a relationship and you take your energy out of the relationship, what happens to the relationship? If you're at a job and you take your energy out of the job, what happens to the job? If you are in fitness and you take your energy out of health and fitness, what happens to your level of fitness? Whatever you are doing and you take your energy out of what you are doing, what happens to what you are doing? Now, you have to think, brothers and sisters, because, again, if you want to get something that you've never had, you got to think thoughts that you've never thought. Whatever you put force into, you repel. Think about it. If I drop a rock into a river, it produces waves that repel. It pushes things out. So if you drop a thought into the, this is called wave genetics. This is called wave physics. Everybody teach particle physics. Studying, and I teach wave physics. Wave physics is different from particle physics. Everybody got particle physics. In the spirit realm, there is no particles. There is no carbon. There's only hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. There is no carbon. There is no particles. When you die, you become a wave, brother. You need to think that way now. So when you die, you're already thinking on that level. Wave physics state this. Particle physics state different. So what I'm telling you today is different from what you've ever heard in your life. The law of attraction says, you bring about what you think about. That's particle physics. Wave physics says you repel what you think about. Because what you're thinking is the act of repelling. Now, what does that mean? Whatever you put your force into, you repel. So the harder you try to get money, you repel money. You got to do what I do. What do? I do what the Bible says. What the Bible says? The Bible says, Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. So I teach, and this is what I do, as I've talked about on the show that I did on the science behind living your life fulfilled. It's called fulfilled desire. This is the new physics. Wave physics says that every desire that you have is fulfilled. That means, like, how does a billionaire act when it comes to money? How does a billionaire act? A billionaire is neutral. What does that mean? A billionaire is not trying to get money. He's not trying to lose money, because a billionaire already owns it. He already has money. So you got to act as if you already got money. The new wave physics says this. Now, please listen to the whole show I did on the science behind the principle of fulfilled desire. This is how you remove every emotional block, every limiting belief, every negative habit pattern. What you think is loss is actually gain. That's the new wave physics. What does that mean in English? In English, that means you have to live in the end game. In English, that means that you got to live your life as if your desire is already fulfilled. So I'm going to beg you today. I'm going to ask you today. I'm going to plead with you today. That's what I did this weekend. And guess what happened? My wife says, honey, I'm proud of you. This is what you did this weekend was great. What did I do? I didn't do nothing. I lived this weekend as if my desires was already fulfilled. What did I do? I live as if it was already true. What was already true? Wealth, wisdom, and relationship. Why? The Bible says God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Past tense. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means you act like what you're hoping for, you already got. That's wave physics. Spirit realm. The spirit works that way. The spirit says, I got, therefore I don't request. The spirit doesn't ask for anything. That's why I told you guys, stop praying to God. Start praying as God. God doesn't pray. He freaking makes statements of declaration. He declares and he decrees. So stop praying and start declaring and decreeing. Start carrying yourself like a billionaire. Start carrying yourself like a health freak. Start carrying yourself like you're all-knowing. Start carrying yourself like you're in a great relationship. And guess what? You possess it. You possess what you possess. Again, let me tell you this. Let me close with this. Be the solution, not the problem. Bump the problem. You ain't got no money, that's a problem. What's the solution? You got money. Be that. Be the solution, brother. Be the solution, sister. Be the solution. Be the solution in your brain. Every time your brain says, we don't got money, you tell your brain, I am wealthy, healthy, and wise. Money comes to me easily and effortlessly. That's what you tell your brain. Every day, all day, 24/7, 365. Act as if you are already living your fulfilled desire. That is the physics of wave. See, a wave only collapses onto a particle when somebody focuses on it. So the key to living your life is the principle of living in a fulfilled desire. That's self-sufficiency. That is what I call resurrected state. The resurrected state. And again, I haven't released this book yet. One of these days I'm going to break this down. This, brothers, is the new physics of Christus, not the Christ. Now, remember, Christ means weapon. Christ means drug. So you get the choice. You can be drugged or you can be weaponized. I choose to be a weapon. I don't want to be under the influence of nobody's drugs. I'm going to be the weapon that goes through life and kills, destroys, mutilates, and maims. Just like I have in my book, The Ultimate Secret to Being Rich, and just like I broke down in the last show when I talked about being and maintaining a cheerful, maintaining a very enthusiastic, and maintaining a very intense mindset. If you do that, brothers and sisters, that is the new science of what would it be like if your desire was already fulfilled. That means today, take on the role. Take on the character of the desire, the destiny, and the diakonia right now. Right now, today, You have to be the character in the play. This is a play, by the way. You're playing the character of a rich man or woman. You're playing the character of a healthy man or woman. You're playing the character of a wise man or woman. You're playing the character of a man or woman that's in a great relationship with their creator, with themselves, and with their environment, with their mate, with their loved one. That's your character. Get in character. Get in the character. Now, I took a little acting back in the day. And the way we got in the character, you know, we got around and we imagined ourselves being the character. You know, they did some other quote unquote, you know, stuff that I wouldn't advise. But that's what you need to do. Get in character, brother. Get in character. Take on the role. Detach from the goal. Take on the role. Detach from the goal. The goal, millionaire. What's the role? Purpose, product, profit, prosperity, peace. That's the role. Every day I wake up. Yeah, my goal, millionaire. But the role, what character am I playing? Well, I'm playing the character of a didactic teacher. I'm playing the character of a spiritual therapeutics who does one-on-ones. I'm playing the character of an author. I'm playing the character of a prolific speaker who has over 100 people paying him, actually, who has 200 people who paid him $5,000. Do you know what 200 times 5 grand is? 1 million. I already did the math. I see y'all at the top. My brothers, my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in the waveform. It's called eternity.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going nuts to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.